when there's no road to safety, 'cause the wolves never sleep around here.
Hello and welcome back from Cincinnati. Our guest tonight is Daniel Bayer, who records under the moniker My Brother the Bear. You can download tracks from his new EP, Crooked Tree, now on mybrotherthebear.bandcamp.com. Daniel, how's it going, man?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. So I want to tell you guys a story real quick. I don't think I told. I get these band submissions on the email for the website all the time, and I open like 20 of them a week, and 18 of them a week are just unlistenable garbage, right? And so when you get a lot of unlistenable garbage, you just get so much unlistenable garbage, then you know you start to get a little jaded on it, and you know you kind of open it kind of half rolling your eyes before you even hit the link. So I'm sitting in the parking lot waiting for my girlfriend to get off work to pick me up, and Daniel submits his music. I open the track, half rolling my eyes already, and I clicked on the first link, and I'm sitting there listening to the damn song, and it gets me kind of welly, guys.
Teared you up a little bit.
Teared me up a little bit, yeah. And I don't really know why, because you know what? I've listened to the song since then. Lyrics don't pertain to me at all. I have no idea. I have no idea what happened. But I'm sitting there in the parking lot of a grocery store at 9:30 at night, crying like a little girl. And I don't know what happened to me, Daniel. I don't know what you did.
It's that sad bastard magic, man. I've been perfecting it for years.
Perfect.
So I think I replied to you and told you that you touched me, is what you did.
Yeah.
You touched me. And, you know, I read your bio, and it kind of, you know, like, you know, we draw from life experience on this show, and you know, like I can take having my fridge die and turn that into like something entertaining, but you know, it lacks poetry. And you know, I read that you grew up in kind of a musical family, and you kind of developed the chops to be able to like play your instrument and stuff. But then you write in songs, and you thought that you didn't have any life experience worth writing about.
They were all kind of naive, you know, because I grew up in a small Irish Catholic community where everybody did the same thing, lived in the same neighborhoods all their lives, and went to the same high schools, and that's kind of how you chose your friends. So there wasn't really any type of growth or exploration involved in my upbringing. So I knew I wanted to do music, but all the stuff that I was writing was just kind of, I don't know, generic and gimmicky, I guess.
Right. And so you joined the military for artistic inspiration, is what your website said. Which
that's kind of messed up, isn't it?
Jesus. I mean, you know, like my first thought would be like to get, you know, all the Tom Petty records and just drive around the country for a while.
Right. Or like rent a villa somewhere and stare off into the sunset. Nope. Well, Daniel's going into the military.
It was kind of a combination of me like fighting this. Me knowing that I wanted to write music and play music and fighting the fact that I was making no money and pretty much living out of my car, and the fact that, well, maybe I'm not happy with the music because I don't really have anything to write about. So it was just kind of a win-win. I got somebody to put me to work for 6 years and pay me, and then I got to actually, you know, go experience some stuff that I could actually use for my true passion, which was the music.
So I guess you were kind of searching for some sort of purpose.
I was kind of trying to live more than what I was living, but I couldn't really afford to, you know, just doing it in how I was in Cincinnati. So joining the Army and being kind of locked into that commitment and having to go wherever they send you and, you know, getting the chance to meet all people from all over the world and stuff, that was just kind of like, okay, well, this, I didn't even think about the like personal risk to myself or anything like that. It was just kind of like, well, this is like the perfect thing for me right now.
Guys, Drunk is here. Drunk showed up during the break. I didn't tell anybody that Drunk was here. Guys, hi, Drunk.
Hey.
Hi, Drunk. How are you? We're talking to Daniel. He goes, why did you decide on My Brother the Bear as a band name when you're just one guy?
Well, my last name's Bear like the aspirin, and my whole life my nickname has kind of been Brother Bear. And when I got out of the Army and I first started playing music, I like you said, I grew up in a musical family. So when I got out of the Army and started really writing and really, you know, playing this music out a lot, I got my actual brother to come play drums and sing harmony with me, because so many places were just like, some sad bastard guy with a guitar isn't really, you know, is what we want. So, you know, he's a rock drummer, and it kind of added enough of an element to it to get us our foot into some venues. And it was just kind of a no-brainer then, you know, that we were both brothers. Our last name was Bear, and so it kind of just came about.
It's something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you know, how people who make reality television, they know they're being filmed and they have to create some kind of conflict. You are a garbage person and people are watching it because you're a garbage person. Do you act out purposely because of that? And it's like, I wonder if it, like, while you're writing and if you have no inspiration, if you kind of, in a way, kind of make it for yourself, you like make drama unnecessarily, like, you know, like a lot of the flawed people make the best art, you know, with like,
are you asking
him,
right, takes, yeah, like takes risks and puts himself into situations?
Well, I mean,
that
he joined the Army to make better songs, Travis. What I'm saying is,
well,
like,
and
you
also
know,
to live, he said, though.
Right, right. But, I mean, like, you know, a lot of the most flawed people make the best music, whether it be,
I think that,
you know,
I think that is true. And I think there are, you know, just out of some of the experiences that I've had with meeting people through touring and being getting the chance to meet some people that have had some success in this business or whatever, it's, I think some people do force it. I think the most powerful people that I've met musically are the people that they write songs because it's something that interests them. And then it's their talent that turns it into like a universal type thing.
Right. And so it's kind of like a perfect storm. You know, there's probably some really talented people that just have a very charmed life.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, like, think about, you know, where would Taylor Swift be if she hadn't been in all those terrible breakups, Daniel? You know what I mean? I mean, if John Mayer hadn't broken her heart, then damn, she wouldn't have written any of those songs.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's both your gift and your curse. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I think that's because once you start doing it, once you start putting yourself into it, it's like anything. You really can't stop. It kind of becomes who you are, and the curve of success is just so undefined and so willy nilly. You know, it's just like you never really know if all this effort that you put into this passion is going to pay off or not. So you got to kind of have to balance that with it making you feel good too, you know, emotionally, if not financially.
Well, that's the thing. Wouldn't that make you feel better to always stay true to your like artistic notions where you're trying to constantly find things that to be your muse rather than once you get to that certain point where people are like, yeah, man, we like your music. Just start churning out things that, you know, are going to be popular. So all of your songs sound exactly the same, because
right.
I've seen that happen with far too many artists that I actually respected quite a bit in their early careers, and they just knew what was working, so they just continued to do that, and the substance falls off, and it's kind of like just a shell of their former glory.
It's such a hard thing, because I mean, you want to write songs. I mean, starving artists write the best songs, but you got to eat to write songs, you know what I mean? So it's
right,
like
you have balance. To balance
that. I just always try and be just kind of true to myself and true to what I want the music to be, in the same sense as, you know, in the same way being accessible to people, you know, accessible to where even if my type of music isn't their cup of tea, they can still listen to it and say, oh, that's, you know, that's a good song.
So there's no chance later in your career we're going to hear a song from you that's something like, hey, girl, you make me want to roll my pickup truck window down.
I'm actually thinking about I think I may start like a screamo folk band where we just you do all acoustic instruments, but everybody's, you know, screaming their throats out. Like,
that sounds amazing, actually.
You corner a market there, and you know, there's probably a demand that you don't even know about.
Create a genre. Yeah,
I mean, Aaron Lewis is making country music. It's all up in the air now. You never know.
I know. So is Hootie. Hootie's making country music.
But I mean, we're talking mud shovel guy, Daniel. I mean, Hootie was already halfway there.
I thought he sold out when he was in Stained.
The headliner from the Family Values tour is faking Twang.
Steven Tyler released the country album, didn't he?
It's really, really bad, too. It's one of the worst things ever. I don't think we've really crapped on the Steven Tyler country album as much as we probably should have. I guess we have something for next week now, guys. Daniel, I see that you got a lot of tour dates coming up, and they all seem to kind of be in the middle of the country, your Alabamas and your Kentuckys. Is there no demand for you on the coast?
Well, I about a year ago, I went out west and did some shows with some friends of mine, some songwriters out there, Willie T. Taylor and Chris Dowd. And that was a lot of fun, but it took so much planning and organization because they all tour around a lot too. And if I was going to go out there, I pretty much do everything on my own. So I'm my manager, my booking agent, all that stuff. So being able to book shows to where I can do this as a living and still be able to travel as much as I do is kind of a blessing. So there's plans later on in fall to head back out west. To Northern California, San Francisco, and some of the small gold panning towns out there. But the Northeast and the Southeast is something that I've been doing, you know, back and forth pretty much for 4 years now. So those are more like just kind of one-off trips that I do. It's really crossing the country and getting through the Rocky Mountains. You know, there's a lot of area to the east of the Rockies that is kind of dead for music, so you kind of have to either fly over there or just plan a whole vacation to drive out there. So it's kind of something that I have to plan for a lot. And not really being from out there too often, I don't really have much of a following. So finding the venues that kind of have a built-in crowd or getting to be able to put shows together with people out there helps a lot.
And when you call them, what do? Do you send them a link and say, "Hey, this is my music. Do you think that people would like it here?" Or do you?
Yeah, lots of times I do that. My emails are pretty simple and straightforward. You know, it's pretty much just, "Hey, this is me. This is my music. This is what I do. You know, I'd love to come play your place. You know, let me know. I'm looking for this date. Let me know, you know, if it works for you." Then we start talking about, well, do you want to do a door show or guarantee or things like that? You know, right. So it's like, if I can make it work, you know, I'll play for free as long as I can get the music out to people and maybe sell some merch and things like that. And at the same sense, I'll play a restaurant to five people who aren't really listening if the money gets me down the road to the next show, you know? Right. So it's just kind of, it's like, the whole thing's a balancing act. You know, sometimes I feel like a trapeze artist, but it's a lot of fun.
And when you get up on a stage,
Mike's question. I was going to remind you if you didn't ask it.
When you get up on a stage, Daniel, when you're performing in front of people, you get up there with your guitar. What do you do with your wallet? Do you leave your wallet backstage? Do you keep it in your pocket? Do you throw it in your guitar case? Where does your wallet go during a show?
I lock it up in my guitar case when I play.
Can you see your guitar case, or is it backstage somewhere?
It's backstage, and I usually tuck it away somewhere pretty safe. But my guitar case has got a lock on it, so
there you go. That's the way to do it. You got a guitar case with a lock. That's not standard, is it? Do they typically
have
locks?
No, it's a pretty old case. I don't think they make them with locks. They make like a little loop where you can put like a padlock in them. That's pretty standard. But the ones that actually have a lock on them, they don't. It's a pretty old case.
So, Travis, there you go. It's another backstage guy.
That's the first. That's the first padlocked guitar case we've
had. Padlocked guitar case is a new one. Yeah, that's new. But it's always backstage. Nobody has their damn wallet on them.
Well, no, we had one guy that put his on the speaker. Remember?
Right. Yeah. There was one with a speaker. Right.
Oh man. Sometimes, you know, sometimes when you play these long shows, you know, you drink a little bit, and you're lucky if you get out of there with your guitar and if you brought a microphone. I wouldn't want to leave my wallet on the speaker.
So Daniel, you don't really, do you know why the song got me?
No, I really don't.
Is it a sad song?
It's not really a sad song. Like, I wrote it kind of as like, it's amazing we're doing it now over the internet. You know, we're connecting and we're talking and we're going to do this song. And I kind of started getting into like the messenger, the Facebook messenger thing, in the Army, because it was a way of me to, of keeping in touch with friends and family. And, just recently I kind of noticed the little video camera icon on Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
So one night I'd had a couple of soda pops and I was a little curious, and I clicked it and it brought open a video screen, and you know, my buddy answered it on his phone. I was like, oh no, you know, this is kind of bad for me, because it's like, one of my biggest problems is I'm a serious drunk dialer. You know, I'll call up somebody that I hadn't talked to in years and be like, hey, I know you're married and have kids now, but just wanted to know what you were doing. You know?
just curious.
Yeah, you know, so it kind of fed that bad habit of mine that I had, and but at the same time, it was kind of like, really, I was kind of like curious. Is like, I wonder if anybody else does this. I wonder if this is like a common thing where people just get, you know, FaceTimed at 4 o'clock in the morning by their drunk friends, whether at the club or whatever. And apparently, I found out it's a pretty common thing, so I didn't feel too bad.
Can you play it? I guess.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
It's called Everything's Fine. I got a little drunk, and that's why I called you. Everything's fine. Sorry if I woke you. I was just hoping to get to your voicemail. Everything's fine. Just thinking about you. Oh, everything's fine. Yes, everything's fine. How is your work? How is your mother? Tell her hello. She always kind of liked me. How are your kids? Do you ever think about us? Everything's fine. I hardly even notice the change. Oh, everything's fine. Yes, everything's fine. Oh, everything's fine. Yes, everything. Someday I'd love to meet up for coffee. Tomorrow's no good, no nothing. Everything's fine. Yes, everything's fine. Yes, everything's fine. Oh, everything. let you go. It's 4 in the morning. Glad we talked to and answered these questions.
Well, it brought a tear to my eye too, Mike.
It got you?
Got me.
In the chat, everybody's saying they think it's a sad song. I think Daniel's wrong. Daniel, you got some sadness in you that you don't know.
Mike, if you don't know why this, of course everything's not fine.
It's not fine.
Fine. You might think it's fine, but it's not fine.
My brother the bear .bandcamp.com, guys. Go there, check that out. You check that song out. The rest of the songs are all good. Damn good.
Appreciate it, guys.
Daniel, hey, thank you, buddy.
Do you have a website? Were you talking about selling merch before? Do you have a website or anything where people can purchase stuff?
You can go to mybrotherthebear.com, and there's this EP is the third recording that I've done. So there's 2 full length albums on the website, and this 5-song EP is on there also.
And you got the tweeter too at My Brother the Bear, probably?
Yeah, the tweeter is at My Bro the Bear, because My Brother the Bear was too much. I'm not really a bro guy, but, you know, whatever.
Hey, you got to dry the tears off my eyes. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Daniel, thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks for coming on and doing this.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
No problem. You take it easy.
All right, you too.
It's a sad song, Travis.
Holy shit.
He said it wasn't sad, but it is.
Well, you didn't know. You asked him. You didn't know why. It didn't apply.
Well, I listened to it again, and I was trying to dissect the lyrics and finding what the hell hit me.
Just the fine part. Like, it's exactly
not fine.
It's the fact that
everything sucks, Travis.
Everybody's constantly telling themselves that they're fine.
Quit trying to assure me it's fine, because it's not.
That was great. I like that guy.
I think it's just that you're getting old, Mike.
You think that's it? It's like a questioning my mortality is what's going on?
So the other day, my lady was watching one of those Ancestry commercials, and she just starts bawling out of nowhere. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? She's like, I don't know. It's just a head.
There's probably Nazis in my family.
I'm like, you're just getting old. That's what the deal is.
It is. Like, I have gotten way sentimental and introspective since I've gotten older and older, and the kids are getting older and time is going so fast. I'm more prone to tears now than I ever was in my younger years.
Guy's fucking good, isn't he?
He's good. That was great.
I mean, that was over fucking Skype, man. Guy's fucking good.